Rob, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. How's your day so far?
It's wonderful, thank you.
Well, it can't be bad as long as you're in Boca Grande, right? I mean, that's what can go wrong there?
You know, there are still people that have issues, even though they live on Boca Grande and living the complete dream. You think that was impossible? They've got all the money in the world. They live in paradise, and they're still bitching.
Hey, you know what? Isn't that the truth? I tell you a funny story going back to that. Well, this call is being recorded, but it's no big deal. I was speaking of people with lots of money that have problems. I was in Fort Lauderdale a few weeks ago, and meeting with my biggest client. And got up to use the restroom at his place, and in comes the headline about CNBC about Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And literally after I said, I wonder if I should bring it up with my client. And I'm like, nah, I'll leave that alone. Just leave that alone. But I got up and after that meeting, I literally drove to an attorney's office in Jupiter. And it was a stone's throw from that place. Of course, my wife calls me. She says, my wife says, are you in Jupiter today? Yeah. All right. What are you doing? But, you know, I mean, that point is, I mean, and I was talking to a client of mine a little while ago, you know, people with plenty of money, right? It's just a bigger pond they're playing in. Look at the college admission scandal, right? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, do you guys not think that at some point that's not going to come out, you know, either 3 months, 6 months, 2 years, or 5 years down the road, that's not that person is not who they're supposed to be? I mean, what?
I know.
It's
hard
people.
To believe. It's judgment.
Yeah.
They lose their judgment somewhere along the way. Either they have been getting away with it their whole life, or you know what can happen, Howard? This is gradualism. they said even Bernie Madoff originally had a legitimate business.
Well, yeah, that's true. Good point.
Right? And gradualism, you know, it's like people cheating on their taxes. You know, they do a little, they get away with it. They do a little more,
right.
They get away with it. And pretty soon, it's a big deal. You know, then they go, how did I get here? You know, how did I? It's just whenever you go over the line, you think, I'm okay. Nobody's going to catch me. And I had a guy working for me. He was my sales manager. He was a Mensa. He was so smart. And he had one of his clients was a swim club. It was the National Olympic swimming team. A lot of the organizations had their headquarters in Indianapolis for the Olympics, along with, you know, Denver, along with Colorado. A lot of them were Indy. And so he borrowed $25,000 from he was the treasurer. So he borrowed $25,000 from him and was going to pay it back. Right.
Right.
Until he didn't. And then he got caught. And then he said, I was just borrowing the money. And that took care of his life. Right. For they never prosecuted him, though, because of the, you know.
Okay.
But he was ruined. He was ruined.
Wow. Jeez.
You know, and he was a great guy. And he was my sales manager for a while, you know. I mean, it's just crazy.
He was your sales manager?
Yeah, with my sales manager in Indianapolis.
So he worked for you?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. I've had a bunch of the people I've had to put in jail.
I bet you have.
I know.
A guy named, Do you know a guy named Co Magruder by any chance? Have I asked you this before? You
Magruder?
Know
no.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
So he was my manager at Payne Webber and then UBS, and then he went to Morgan Stanley. Well, he actually went to Pitt Caron, which was a Pitt Caron is a high net worth firm, family office firm type thing.
Yeah.
It originated out of one of the big families. Anyway, I've been watching your tapes over and over again and videos, tapes. You like me? You mentioned it. You mentioned as a tape on there at one point. I still call them tapes.
Yeah.
But you guys have some similar mannerisms, very friendly and kind, but straight to the point. And I was like, I got to ask him if he knows Coke, because you know. Anyway, similar demeanors, good stuff. It's all good.
Isn't that fun? Yeah. I don't know. Alan Sisson was my best friend for a long time, and he worked in Washington for Merrill and ran the Washington office for Merrill. And
was that the WG branch or something like that? What was it called?
There were two of them. One was WK, and
yes.
That was a guy that was in there forever.
What's
and,
his name? I remember that guy's name. I remember.
Yeah, do you remember him? He was a Marine.
Yeah.
And
name escapes me.
Yeah, me too. He died, unfortunately. And
okay.
But you knew of him anyway, right? He was pretty famous.
Yeah. He's very famous. And a couple of advisors over there. I can't remember their names. Who big, you know, type thing. Yeah.
We would compete with them every year and had a great time. A lot of fun.
Yeah. That's good for. I mean, that's it. That's good. Those guys bring in some assets in this town. That's for sure.
Oh, big. Big. So, are you still doing as well? Everything going good?
Yeah. So, speaking of assets, so a couple of things. First of all, remember I was telling you I'd read about Chris Brooke, and he's in your book, right? About the kind of system he has for. So I called him actually. And nice guy. And I guess part of his team went one way. He went another way. So,
right.
And he actually, I talked to him about the deal I was looking at with this, you know, buying this book. And I mean, I talked to 8 people about it. And every single one of them were like, no. so I think I got my answer there. Yeah, I put the nail in the coffin not too long ago. And he's a really good guy, though. Very successful and kind of similar mentality with the whole numbers, the formula, you know, kind of creating, you know, if you know what your inputs need to be, then you should have a pretty good forecast on your output, right?
Right.
In terms of activities required to generate certain amount of meetings, to generate certain amount of closes, to generate certain amount of net new assets. Kind of simple, but to your point, not many people do that.
Nope.
So also, what I did is I backed in to 100 accounts from my 50. Now, 100 is the peak, the max, right?
Yep.
And I backed in to my top, which is 20. So let's say I had 10 at 20, 10 at 15, 10 at 10, 10 at 8, 10 at 5, 10 at 4, 10 at 3, 10 at 2, 10 at 1, and 10 at 500,000. And from a fee level of 50, 60, 60, 65, 70, 70, 75, 80, 90, and 100 basis points.
Mm-hmm.
If I backed into that formula, it would take my $200 million to $685 million and $4.1 million in total revenue from my, you know, one-ish run rate now. So I've got this spreadsheet now that I'm just gonna, you know, again, this is probably, you're probably like, hey Howard, why weren't you doing this years ago? I don't know the answer to that, but now I've got the spreadsheet and I'm just gonna, it's like a puzzle. I'm just gonna start putting the pieces in where there are gaps. I'm just gonna start filling the gaps in, right? And then using your minimums, like you said, to create that structure. So kind of going back to the basics, right? So now I'm not gonna do this deal with this this advisor, so okay, it's all going to be me again, and then I still need to go out and hire someone. I've had very good conversations with my assistant, by the way, and I didn't have to have a, you know, heart to heart with her. She just kind of came around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I started doing is anytime she did something well, I really complimented her on it. And I pinged her back. I said, you have no idea how much that helped me today and how much that really is important when I'm out and you got that done and I don't have to worry about it. That's huge to me. And ever since then, you know, I find that whenever she does something, I reinforce it. And she's really pretty much done wonderfully since then.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. As opposed to, you know, it's kind of in that.
Did you read that? Did you read that, or did you do that instinctively?
You kind of encouraged me to do it when we talked last, and then I just kind of was thinking, you know what? It's not going to get me anywhere if I start coming down on her. I'm just going to. And her father works here too. He's a big advisor. I think I told you that, and I talked to him about the whole book thing, and he was looking at it too. And so after I got off the phone, I went out to her and I said, you know what, your dad's really a great guy and he's helped me out a lot and I appreciate that. So he's a good dude. And so it's all good, right? The karma's good, and so she's working out well. Yeah. Big change.
That's
there.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and then
positive. It's called positive reinforcement.
Yeah, there you go. I need to do that with my kids more.
Catch them, you know, there's the saying, catch them doing things right.
That's a good point.
What we do is we catch them doing things wrong.
Yeah.
And so we become the policeman when in reality we want to be the cheerleader.
Yeah.
So catch them doing things right, and they love attention, so they will do more things right.
Yeah.
You know, kids are bad kids sometimes because they get attention.
Hmm.
Otherwise, they're ignored.
Wow. Amen, preacher.
Hey.
I like it.
That's what I do for a living.
Yeah. You sure do, and you're good at it, yeah. I forgot, you say and write and do things that do line up a lot with kind of my religious beliefs, but I can't remember, did you say you are or not?
A Christian? Yes, I am.
Yes. Yeah, good, yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm, as we all are, on our spiritual journeys. But
no
I'm
question.
I'm having fun on mine.
That's great. Well, we're not taking any of it with us, but he does want us to be a good steward and strive for excellence. You know,
right.
there's some people that feel guilty about making money, right? And I'm like, well, I mean, money's kind of a byproduct of doing a good job sometimes.
Hey, the Bible encourages you to prosper.
Yeah, I agree. So speaking of prospering, I had some good news today. I had one of my larger clients who just got larger is putting another 3.5 with me. So that makes me
wonderful.
Feel better after punting on that deal, right, and refocusing on the larger accounts. He went from what 9-ish to 12-ish. So that's nice.
Let me ask you a question. It's kind of rhetorical. How much more money and time is that going to take you?
Yeah. Zip. Nada. Yeah. Good point. It's just that it's a unit, right? It's a unit.
It's just like bringing in a new account, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And except you don't have to open do the paperwork. And it literally will take you no more time. You'll just drop it in.
Yeah.
So
like it's already here. It's already in cash
right.
In his bank account. Yeah.
So So that's the point. You want to have bigger, whether they bring in the money or mm-hmm. you bring in bigger accounts, you want them
yeah.
all to get bigger.
Yeah.
You don't want more, you want bigger.
Yeah. Well,
because then
I mean,
it costs you no more money. See, you can do
correct.
$5 million with the same number of clients.
Right.
And work no yeah. more hours. It's like cheating.
in a good way. It's just being smarter, right? Being smarter.
Right. Everybody thinks you've got to work longer and harder.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
You know, your managers all tell you, right, when we were getting going, you want to do more business, work harder. Work
right.
more hours.
Mm-hmm.
And along comes Rob and says, no, I don't want you to work more hours. I don't want you to work longer. I don't even want you to work harder. I want you to work smarter.
Yeah.
Right. It's very interesting, too. We get whatever we are striving for.
Yes. That's true.
I've got a new client who is really interesting, and he's 63 years old, and he's taking Supernova, right? So give
mm-hmm.
him a
yeah.
tip of the hat for wanting to change at his age, right?
No, absolutely.
Right. But when it comes, he's got, you know, like between three FAs, they've got almost 600 clients, so they've got too many.
Okay, yeah.
And all the clients are between $500,000 to $2 million, right? Couple bigger, but
two is the
I
top.
Said, well, yeah, so let's do the okay. math. We did the math, and his minimum is about, based on the revenues he's doing, his minimum should be about $2 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his target should be $3 million or four, three and a half,
yeah.
$4 million.
Yeah.
But he said, Rob, I'm just not comfortable with clients with more than $2 million.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
At 63 years old, I mean, yeah. I just think you have such a great story to tell.
And he's an
junior advisor.
He's in Oakbrook. He's in Oakbrook, Illinois. It's not like he's in poor city. You know, he's in Waco, Texas, or something.
Right. Now is that right outside of Chicago? I'm not sure. I don't...
Yeah, yeah. It's a wealthy suburb of Chicago.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just a mindset, Howard. It's pure.
Yeah.
When you sit where I sit, you see the whole thing. These guys are all the same. You guys are all good. Everybody's selling the same thing. You're all smart.
Yep.
And you end up just self-image. The whole thing is self-image.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's just like these daughters and girls, you know, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not smart enough. They just,
right.
Their self-image just sucks. And it's, you know, they don't have any confidence, and that's what this is. That's a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, but when people hand you $3.5 million more, and it goes up to what you say, 10 or 11 or whatever it is? Seven,
12 and a half.
You go, oh,
yeah.
People are actually going to give me more money. This is a miracle.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, there's some of that.
Right. So I must be good enough. I must be thin enough. I must be smart enough.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, and for me, what I have a tendency to do, and this is a weakness of mine, is I'll get, like, my top guy is 20, and then 20, 10, 7, 6, and then I've got another 20, but it's institutional. So, I mean, you know, my top, and I've got some 25s that are, I'm just looking at my list right now. But my problem is I'll get one and I kind of get a little comfortable. And I look back and I'm like, why don't I go try to replicate a few of those in each of those brackets? Why don't I, you know what I mean? Why don't I replicate that. And I can look back on my career and see where I've had, you know, some of these really big accounts. Some, I mean, at one point I had one at $240 million, but it's institutional. But still, because you can leverage that, right? I mean, you can leverage that within their community and use them as references and all that kind of stuff. So that's why I'm really – that's why I've laid this spreadsheet out. And like, okay, I'm doing a million, and I've got each of the size accounts that I want. Now I've got to take each of those buckets. I got 10 buckets, you know, 20, 15, 10, 8, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and 500,000. I got to take each of those buckets and add two or three more to each of them, and my revenue will triple.
Right.
Easier said than done, but anyway.
Here's the thing. I mean, that's so interesting. You know, how many years have you been in production now?
So technically I've been on a desk or on the investment in the investment field since 1992. Too long to be doing just the number I'm doing. But in my defense I changed.
Yeah, when did you actually start having your own practice? When did you start having your own practice?
That's when I went to UBS in 2000. And when I've been solo since 2008. No, 9.
Okay, so here's the thing.
And really honestly, focused on private wealth. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But really focused on private wealth almost solely since 2009. Because before it was really a lot of institutional stuff, corporate cash and bonds and stuff like that. So really on the whole wealth management space since 2009.
Okay, 2009. So you've been 10 years. Now, that's not bad, you know, doing a million in 10 years. We always said add 100,000 every year. But, you know, that's not bad. You're 30 years, you're doing 3 million. It's a good career. It's not, you know, it's not top of the line, but it's a good career. The question, you know, here's my challenge to you mentally.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How much of that time did you spend concentrating on growing that 10 years?
Not enough. Yeah.
My point is, where did the time go when it came to growth?
Yep.
You see, it just goes, right? It's just gone. And you think to yourself, what would I do differently if I had to do those 10 years over again?
Well, I know exactly. And it's right here on paper, which is, you know, I feel like from a performance perspective, I need to be accountable to myself, right?
Yep.
And it's a time plan first. How much time is available for just what you said? One, make time to keep my existing clients, right? Two, make time for growth. And a lot of those things are closely linked. But I think to what you just said is, you know, looking at, okay, where did that time actually go? And then if in X number of years, 3 years, I want to be here, then I need to back into that. And what's the amount of time it's going to take per year to do that? And then per week, per month, and per quarter.
Right.
And that's actually how I got to a million last year. Then I got really focused on micromanaging myself.
That's really good. You know, I've got a guy in Miami who's kind of crazy, okay? In the sense of he's wicked ADD, okay?
Okay.
He's a hell
of a little bit of that myself.
Of, right. He's a hell of a salesman.
Okay.
Okay. World class salesman. And he started this business of hair, you know, haircuts and, you know, the gentleman's haircut. salons. And so he had like four of them. He still has four of them. He got so busy doing that. He just basically gave up his practice. Then his partner and his sales assistant revolted and said, screw you, we're doing all the work, we're leaving. So now he had to come back and go to work, right? Yeah. And so he hired me just then, right? And I'm thinking, this guy's a flake, right? I am not going to make, this is going to be the biggest problem I've ever taken on. It's going to be a nightmare. Right? He's not going to do anything I tell him. He's a smart ass. He thinks he knows everything. This is the way
running
he was.
Running barbershops on the side? Oh, my gosh.
Right. Right. So now, so he comes, though. Now he's Mr. Humble, and he reads my book, and he commits.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, he's the best student ever. I mean, he's so good. But he's such a good salesman. And you know what he does? He does pipeline. He does his pipeline. He's a huge pipeline guy. And he doesn't bullshit. There's no talking. He's working Saturdays, Sundays, all the time.
Wow.
Said Sunday I went to a barbecue and I met three new prospects.
Nice.
Okay. Now they were just people at a barbecue, but to him they were prospects. And he's got them lined up now. And he's got them in his sights, and he's not going to let go of them until they become clients. I mean, he'll let go of them.
That's great.
You know what I mean? But he's just he's obsessed. When ADD people get obsessed about something, they're fabulous at
That's me. That's me.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is
But you got it to your point.
Now, if you had that,
you got to have that target.
If you had that intensity for 10 years,
right,
you'd be doing $6 million now. That's all it takes. I've been coaching this for 40-plus years.
Jeez. Wow.
And all I see is that's the only difference.
Yeah.
The intensity and the commitment, and as you said, wicked attention to detail.
Yeah, and making yourself accountable. Hey, can I put
Every
you on
day.
Hold for – can't I apologize.
That's okay. Nature call.
Phone. Yeah, I've been on the phone all morning, and I was like, I got to get up before I call Rob. And then I was like, no, it's already started. I got to call him right now. So, sorry. Anyway.
Okay.
So, speaking of micromanaging myself, the other thing that I'm really focused on that I'm going to let motivate me. So I'm looking at the revenue that I would have gained taking on this book and when it would have baked into my production. So come hell or high water, I want to beat that, right?
Good.
Does that make sense to you?
How much would that have been?
So, I'm doing, my run rate is like $850 without transactional revenue. That would have added another, let's call it 800, so almost a double. I would have been a year, April to April, with no ad, and then he would have retired in April. I would have taken the book over June 1, technically. So June 1 of 2020, by the end of June 1, 2021, it would be fully baked in, so basically 1.6 is where I've got to get to a run rate by then, which means I got to bring in, 75-ish million.
All right, so something I want you to think about, okay? It wouldn't have been free.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would have been your net take-home pay?
Oh, yeah. The net take-home is – no, that's a good point. It's a great point. The net take-home would not have been much different for 5 years. Now, after 5 years, you know, that's an extra 10 to 12 to 13 a month. But you got to work off the debt, yeah.
Right. So, you know, you can look at the revenues, but there would be multiple costs associated with that. Not only paying him, but supporting the number of clients. You would have been underwater economically for 5 years.
Yep.
Compared
for
to
sure.
now. So what's the cost? Tell me again the cost of bringing that $3.5 million in.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Okay, so let's look at setting an income goal. Compare it to the income goal that you would have by the end of 2025, 2021, and then 2025, okay?
Income that I would have gained after the debt rolls off.
Yeah, just plot your income, your probabilities, your probable income.
Yeah.
Between now and 2021 and then 20 and 2025. And do the comparison of those two incomes, not the revenues, the income.
Yes, net income. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to make an unfair comparison here.
Well, so part of this, okay, part of the reason that I wanted to take this on, some of it's ego, I'll be honest with you, some of it's ego. Because I wanted to be, you know, close to $2 million producer. And that would have instantly gotten me pretty close there, right?
Yeah.
So now so it's outside optics. Now I'm like, all right, and it's not him personally that I want to beat, but the guy who's ended up buying it, and he's way overpaying. Now I can use that as a barometer and say, okay, by the time that bakes in, I want to be ahead of that guy. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely.
So even from the outset, and you're right, if I'm ahead of him by the time that bakes in, I've done, my revenue has increased 30-fold compared to what it would have been.
Right.
By taking that book
every year, it's a cumulative thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I'm giving up...
the only thing you're giving up is optics.
Is what?
Optics.
Correct.
Ego.
That's right. Yep.
You're giving up ego.
Yep. Precisely.
But I like driving. Yeah. I like the $1.65 million goal by 2021, but I don't want you to be questioning whether or not this was a good decision. So I like you comparing your income.
Good idea.
Between now and there. That is a much more reasonable comparison.
Yeah. Income and stress level.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, income and, work and stress and managing people that you don't even need to manage and giving up clients after that and all this cleaning of the book and.
Yeah,
it's crazy. If the guy had 50 clients and was doing this, I'd say go for it.
Right. No, I would have spent the next 5 years trying to segment out a lot of that stuff, right?
Right. And you wouldn't have been able to get rid of it. You would have put yourself. You would not be able to get that $10 million client that's sitting out there waiting for you right now.
Yep.
All those guys at CoStar.
Right.
How many of those accounts have you opened by now?
Zero.
And how many putts go in that are short?
That's true. Good point. Good point. You're putting it to me.
Just a little project we agreed on.
That's true.
And the question in your head, seriously, is what is keeping you from trying?
Yeah, it's just a matter of focus. No, it's a good point. I did look up the CEO, and I've got his name.
It's fear. Okay, the reason the 100% the reason you're not doing it is fear.
Yeah.
And that's the part you've got to
fear
understand.
Or, you know, honestly, being lazy. Just not setting the time aside,
well,
and scheduling, you know, what doesn't get scheduled.
Lazy is a good excuse for fear. Because if
okay,
I said,
right,
hey, this guy called me and I told him about you, Howard, and he wants to do business with you, you would not be lazy.
That's a good point.
So it's not good lazy, point. It's fear. Okay.
Yeah.
Fear of being rejected, fear of a bad outcome, fear of whatever, the unknown.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, 10 years later, I mean, if you'd have made, you know, what calls could you have made 10 years ago,
right,
that would now be a pocket of wealth for you?
Well, that's painful
you
because, yeah, I mean, I see some companies that I, you know, prospected for a little while and then kind of gave up on them, you know, when they were in their early days, right? Early, like new companies, just getting venture funding, stuff like that. And I see a lot of them going public now. I'm like, oh my gosh. Just one of those guys. I mean, it's painful.
I have a guy,
right?
You know, I have a guy like you who's a good guy, solid guy. And he somehow got a CFO of one of these biotechnology companies. They went public.
Yeah.
He's rich. Now he's going to go off and be the CEO of another one.
Oh yeah.
And he's getting referred around and so on and so forth. So
yeah.
I mean, it's a gold mine. You just have to network your way in there.
Correct.
And you can do it. You can make friends. You can just think of it as, I want to go there and make friends and help people. I'm not looking for business.
Yeah.
I'm just here to help. What can my firm do for you guys?
Yeah.
I used to go in companies and I'd say, everybody needs a relationship with Merrill Lynch.
Yeah.
And they'd go, yeah, I've been assigned to help you guys. I tell them that. You can say, Wells Fargo assigned me to CoStar. What can I do to help you guys?
Yeah.
I'm not going away.
It.
I'll be here every month. I'll be here every month. You're my client.
It.
I did that with everybody.
Now, is this when you were in production or?
That's when I was in production, yeah.
Okay, gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, because my brother worked for Dictaphone. See, my brother worked for Dictaphone, and he'd be assigned clients.
Hmm. So you just kind of played that game, so to speak.
So I mentally played the game that I was working for Dictaphone, and I was assigned to them. So, like MIT, he would be assigned MIT. He'd have the whole university. So
wow.
I said, I've been assigned by Merrill Lynch to MIT. What can I do for you? I'll be here every month, you know? I'll be here every 2 weeks. What can I do for you? What stocks do you own? Can I get you an opinion on your stocks?
Nice.
And yeah,
you physically did that with, like, literally with MIT?
I did that with MIT, and I every Tuesday I cold called all day long for seven years.
Nice.
7 years.
Yeah.
Every day, rain or shine. Every Tuesday, all day.
Yeah.
I'd knock on 30 doors, I'd collect cards from everybody. I'd put them in a book, and then I'd follow up. That was my system.
It's
and then I'd cold call at night to individuals, and during the day, I'd call those businesses back.
Yeah.
But I'd already been there to see them, so I had this visual picture of each one.
Right.
You know, I may have met the secretary or something, and so I just make friends with her on the phone.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I'll tell you what I did last Friday. So last Friday in Charlottesville, there was the Mid-Atlantic chapter of the ESOP Association. You're familiar with ESOP,
wow.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful.
Right. So, and it was a Friday afternoon. The meeting was all day Friday. It was snowing in Charlottesville. The forecast was to snow in Charlottesville. And I talked to the private banker that was running it, running the meeting. And he's like, nobody's coming. It's going to be me and a planner and Mike Dearden, the head of wealth group for the whole region. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be there. And so I, my wife is pissed at me. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to Charlottesville. And I'm going to go spend the night at the Boar's Head Inn and be at this presentation. She says, it'd be freaking snowing. What are you talking about? But, you know, I did it. And I met a guy that was involved in an ESOP group company that does ESOP valuations. And
perfect.
We just kind of hit it off. And he got up and introduced me around to, like, 10 different people. And so I've got their cards now, and both the private banker and the planner and, you know, this is my boss's 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 boss were there, and they thanked me profusely for working the room for them and all this kind of stuff. So I got some good kudos, and I got like 10 different contacts out of it that I get to follow up on.
So do you know what you just created? There's a name for what you just built. You know what it is?
Tell me. No.
It's a niche mastermind group.
Yeah. Like it. Well, that's what the private banker and I, we came back and met. Now, but see, now it's going to happen. I've talked to another friend of mine. He said, hey, did you go to that thing last week? Because I asked him before. I said, you go on? He said, F, no, I'm not doing that on a Friday afternoon, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, you know, I smell blood. I'm like, nobody's doing it.
Right.
Damn right, I'm going to be there, right? So literally I'm looking at
right.
One, two. That won me some internal kudos with management, and for sure, you know, there's going to be some stuff coming out of it. Now I got to go back and do the farming, as you said, right? Now I've got to.
Right. So here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to formalize the group.
Okay.
And then I want you to talk to each one about the benefits of getting together on an annual basis.
Okay.
And then, now these people all go to this conference every year?
They go to multiple. Yeah, they go to this one. There'll be one in D.C. that they'll probably be at. Yeah, most of these guys have been doing this for, you know.
How many years do they do this? I mean, how many times a year do they do this?
There's a local chapter, Mid-Atlantic chapter, that does it 2 to 3 times a year, and then there's a national chapter that meets like in Vegas, you know, once or twice a year. So there's, but these guys that I'm sure you remember or probably know of people at Merrill that focus on ESOPs. I do at UBS. And I mean, they make a killing. I don't know if you know Keith Marika and you know Keith. Okay,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean,
so here's the game.
Billions.
You create a sub group of these guys, and you go in. Everybody goes in a day early, and you meet for a day together before the meeting.
Okay.
And you decide whether it's a day, a half a day, 2 days, whatever. Whatever is makes sense. But you get 5 or 6 of these guys, all different, all the best, and you meet before every meeting.
Good idea.
And you share business. And in between, you're calling and talking to each other and introducing and sharing business.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This
like
is a gold mine. You've identified a gold mine.
Yeah.
And no one is willing to do that kind of work hour.
Right.
It's a Friday afternoon. I want to go fishing.
Yep.
You know, I want to go to the hockey game. I want to do something else. I want to be with my family. It's whatever.
Yeah.
And you go to this.
Yep.
And you become the world expert because your friends are going to teach you more than you can learn by taking a course.
Right.
And now, each one is going to have...
Tell me what you think about this. A little bit of a curveball, not a big curveball, but a guy came over. So as part of one of the introductions, I got four business cards. It was really kind of cool because it was – I know you probably got to go, don't you? My boss was there and everything, so they were kind of – I just got lucky, quite frankly, but their jaws were dropping when this head of the whole thing got up, started introducing me to thousands of people. But one of the guys he introduced me to, as luck has it, his son actually just came over from another team that used to be at Barclays, is now at Stiefel. He's a junior advisor on an ESOP team that just came over from Stiefel. So he's here now. He's going to be competition in that space locally probably. So I'm not sure how to deal with him. I'm wondering, you know, should I try to partner with him or should I?
Yes.
You know, what do
you think? Team up with him.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Is he in your office or close by or where?
He's not in my office, but he's in the same unit that Rob and I are in, the WBS channel.
Yeah.
He's in the same channel.
Yeah,
so
make friends.
Yeah.
Reach out to him and make friends.
Okay.
And you might bring him in as a partner.
Right.
Literally a partner on your team. I mean, start out by sharing business and ideas and stuff, and then talk to him about coming on your team.
Well, yeah, he's got to bring his book over and all that kind of stuff, he's like an AVP. So I'm thinking he's doing 300 to 350 to 400 to 500. I don't know exactly, but I know AVP is under 500.
Now you're talking about a specialist team. This is a really good thing.
Yeah,
and he has access, right? He has access because of his dad.
Yep. And he was on an ESOP team that, again, that was part of Barclays. He was like the junior member, but he's got access. Like literally, his dad's name is Ron Gilbert, and he runs something called the ESOP Services Group, Inc. And his dad's been doing this for, 30 years. So
right.
All those
and
people
his
that
dad,
I met.
His dad will love you for helping him.
Okay.
And be a giving, caring kind of partner. And everything will go great. Unless he's a dick, if he's a jerk. Fine.
Yeah, no, I had a good conversation. So the deal was we were, I was working the room and I saw him like hanging out with, some of our guys. And I knew he was at Stiefel. So I said, so what's up with this Stiefel relationship? What's going on here? And they're like, oh, this guy's coming over next week. I said, yeah, I might go have lunch with him and just check him out and see what his gig is.
Yeah, do it.
Like you said, I mean, that could be a resource to me.
Send me a list of the guys and their occupations because I'd like to see how they would meld together and then what would be missing from your group to make it complete. Would you have every specialist that you need in that group from the people you met, or is there somebody else that you need in the group?
Right. I'll put
that
together. Yeah.
Yeah, do it. You're on it, Howard. You're doing great.
Cool.
Attention to detail and work every day a little bit, okay?
Yep. Good point. I appreciate that.
All right, good. All right, good call. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.